What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. It is Thursday, January 24th. This is the next to last Pick Six Podcast. Until we're live at the Super Bowl. Pretty excited about that. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. If you're just somehow landing here, I hope you party with us throughout the rest of the postseason. Got a week of live shows at the Super Bowl. We will be doing the podcast from Radio Row, recording there with friends of the show who come on all the time, as well as sundry guests, celebrity guests who stop by and do zany things that the social media team cooks up for us. And more importantly, from noon until 1, every day, Monday through Friday, on CBS Sports HQ, we will be doing a live video show. I mean, just a live video show. It's called the Pick Six Rundown. So if you listen to this podcast and you know somebody who likes to support the Brinson brand, hashtag Branson, by all means, go to cbssports.com/live or cbssportshq.com. Either one, it'll take you there. Noon to 1, Monday through Friday. Check it out. Need you people there to help me out, because the more views, the better I'm liked, and that means I won't get fired, so they can pay Ryan Wilson's humongous draft expert salary. Speaking of Ryan Wilson, he's joining us right now. What's up, buddy?
It's funny you mentioned Team Brinson, the Branson, because Branson. I'm here with Prisco, and yeah. I told him the other day that, you know, Brinson's whole Twitter thing, that's about building his brand. And he goes, he said that. I said, yeah, that's his whole thing. He goes, I'm going to hold that over his head. So don't be surprised when
– I've never said that. I don't think I've ever said that.
Oh, you've been talking about team branding for a while, because I think EK came up with Branson, right?
I thought you came up – maybe EK did.
No, that's EK's. All right. But by the way, before we go on, I want to say I met Danny Kelly yesterday of The Ringer.
Nice.
I love Danny Kelly.
Danny listens
to the podcast, and I apologize for having to listen to me once a week. But, yeah, he's a great guy. He likes the show. So he's in your corner.
Danny Kelly's been on the podcast. He was one of the first guests. I love Danny. Danny was at fieldgoals.com and then jumped over to The Ringer, where he, does excellent work with, Kevin Clark and Robert Mays, among other many smart people at The Ringer. And he also does The Ringer NFL show. So that I listen to his podcast too. So thanks for listening, Danny. Danny's now the Senior Bowl where you are. We're going to talk about some prospects in a minute. Friendly reminder. We're heading towards the offseason, which means that we will be changing the style of content that we bring you. Pete Prisco might not make himself available once a week. He's big time like that. Ryan Wilson, however, not big time enough. He has to make himself available once a week. Ryan will be joining us. We don't know what day yet once we get past the Super Bowl, but we'll figure it out. Ryan does a mock draft that drops every Monday. I have a mock draft that drops every other Wednesday. We'll talk about that. We're going to hit some news around the NFL, and then we will get to the prospects. But first, the Jaguars, this is a headline on CBSSports.com. Jaguars trade Leonard Fournette for Nick Foles. Bengals replace Andy Dalton. You saw the headline. You knew it was my mock draft. You knew that couldn't be a real headline, right?
Well, I knew it was your headline. I was pretty sure that it wasn't a real headline, because I can't imagine anyone in their right mind would trade for Leonard Fournette giving up Nick Foles. But that may not have been your intention. So I haven't looked at the mock draft yet. I've been running around Mobile. We got an inch and a half of rain today.
They're fine.
So I was dodging raindrops. But let me ask you, Team Branson, how was it received on Twitter?
You know what? I actually got a DM from somebody who said, I like that you didn't give the Giants a quarterback. You're the only person I've seen doing that. I've followed Dave Gettleman for a long time. I know that he will not go off of his draft board just to get a quarterback, regardless of what the team needs. On the Foles trade though. So originally, Ryan, I was like, all right, I'm going to send Foles to the Jaguars. I'm going to really create a stir with my quarterback trades, my mock draft quarterback trades. But the problem is, I came up with a deal. What do you think about this? No Fournette. Jaguars send number 7 and number 69, nice, to the Eagles for Foles, number 26, and number 54. Who wins there?
It's hard for me to envision. If you get Foles, that's a big win for the Jaguars, I feel like. 7.
Yeah, that's right. That's the problem.
But here's the thing, and I appreciate you doing that, because whenever I do trades in the first round, I think I've done in my last 2 or 3 mock drafts, invariably the question I will get on Twitter is, what are they giving up? Because I'm just doing the first round shades in order for these teams to move up or move back. I'm not going into the minutia of whether they're getting in the second or third round or what they're getting in 2019. So or 2020, sorry, 2019 is insane. So for you to do that, I'm sure Twitter appreciates it because that'll save you at least 20 or 30 tweets of people asking that question.
Well, I was basically, I was trying to go through the thought process. So I was like, all right, here's the problem. I don't think the Jaguars are going to, because the Jaguars might lose players. They need to replace talent. You don't give up number seven if you need to replace talent. And if you think that Nick Foles is going to hit the free agent market. So, that trade there basically makes Nick Foles worth in the swap about the 28th overall pick, just in terms of draft capital. But I decided to bail with that and go with Fournette. He only has 2 years left on his contract. Swap him straight up. He's expensive for a running back, but if the Eagles get rid of Nick Foles, they'll have cap room, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, if you don't like it, just pretend like instead of Fournette, the Jaguars give up their second round pick for Nick Foles, which would be fine too, or their third
second round pick. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but exactly. I mean, if you need a quarterback, you don't give up your seventh round pick to get Nick Foles as part of the deal.
The seventh overall pick. Yeah, exactly. You just draft a quarterback. At any rate, so, I had my first quarterback who came off the board was actually in this mock draft, Dwayne Haskins going to the Cincinnati Bengals. And I kind of surprised myself with this, and I sort of wish I'd waited till after the Super Bowl for this one, because I think it actually makes more sense than you think. So Zach Taylor's going to come in as the Bengals head coach. There's no guaranteed money left on Andy Dalton's deal. Why wouldn't the Bengals draft a quarterback?
No, they could do that. But also, I feel like Sean McVay, if he were the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati, would get a lot out of Andy Dalton. Mm. Jay Gruden got a lot out of Andy Dalton. He was the OC there.
Hugh Jackson got a lot of Andy Dalton.
Yeah, until he went, I don't know what happened with you. I guess Cleveland just turned his world upside down. But I wonder if Zach Taylor, because certainly that conversation has been had. What are your plans with Andy Dalton, with Red Romo, the ginger, what's his other nickname?
The Red Rifle.
Red Rifle.
Yes.
We call him Red Romo too, because he's like Romo, but has red hair.
And not as good
on play-by-play, by the way.
No, not nearly as good. Or as good in football, really.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. But maybe maybe Zach Taylor wants to see what he has. How many years left? 2 years left?
2 years left, no guarantee.
And it's a cheap deal.
No guaranteed money, right, exactly.
And here's the deal with Andy Dalton. If he gets cut, he will find a team very quickly, and he will start for that team very quickly. He would start for the Jaguars and make the Jaguars
an
8 or 9 win team.
Andy Dalton's deal is $16.2 million and then $17.7 million for the next 2 years.
That's peanuts, yeah.
Yeah, 31 and 32 years
old. You could draft a quarterback. At 15, they're 11. I think maybe they're 11.
Well, the logic too is not that, yeah, they're 11. The logic was not that they would draft Dwayne Haskins and cut Andy Dalton or anything. Just that you can draft Dwayne Haskins if you'd like him. And then you can make a decision on Andy Dalton depending on how Haskins looks.
The problem, though, and this is what Ben Roethlisberger was bellyaching about with Mason Rudolph as a third-round pick, they could use a linebacker. Vontaze Burfict is no longer very good. They could use offensive line help. So if you're waiting on that just to draft a guy that's not going to play for you, I mean, that's going to just add insult to injury to a fan base that was already pretty pissed off.
Yeah, but what if you think your team stinks? You're like, all right, I guess
– I don't know. I'm guessing that they think that Zach Taylor will come in there and – turn it around. I mean, Sean McVay, that team before Sean McVay got there was doo-doo.
Yeah.
And last year, I think they won 10 games.
That is true. That's a fair point. All right. That's enough about my mock. Nobody cares about my mock. Well, let's talk about Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald coming back for a 16th NFL season. Can you believe that, Larry Fitzgerald?
I was sort of surprised by that. I saw the headline today. Me and Pete were at the hotel getting ready to do something for work, and the television was on over the restaurant bar. And I said, why is he doing that? What do you think do you think he talked to Cliff Kingsbury and Kingsbury said, this is our plan for you. Things are going to be different. Obviously, we're actually going to try to get first downs, give the ball to David Johnson. Here's your defined role. Josh Allen's going to be better. We're going to get offensive line help, so on and so forth. Or does this guy just love football and he doesn't want to think about life after football?
Does he have a contract? I don't even know what his contract is. I think he was going to be a free agent. Who knows?
Yeah, he was. This was the last year.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, he was going to be a free agent in March.
Well, I mean, a lot of the times these guys are willing to come back and rake in some cash because, why not, right?
I can't imagine. I'll be curious to see was the deal announced?
I don't think he does have a deal. I think he was 13.
Well, they just announced he's coming back. They haven't given him a new contract. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, right.
Correct.
Yeah. That could very well be. So I'm sure.
He signed a 1 year, $11 million extension for the 2018 season on November 17th, 2017. So there's been no contract signed. He's just basically like, He doesn't want to go out the way they went out. He wants to try and come back and make.
There is no way they're paying him $11 million this time, though, right?
I would hope not. I hope they just give him a 1 year, $8 million deal.
Hey, wow.
I mean, you got to give him something.
Yeah, no, that's right. He's still a good. I don't know what his DVO numbers were. They probably don't matter in that offense last year.
This might honestly be a Kingsbury, Steve Keim, and Bidwell go sit down with Fitzgerald, and they're like, "Look, dude, we know you love golf and being a we know you love golf and philanthropy.
Yeah, but, humanitarian efforts.
But we need you, and we need you to come back and catch balls from Josh Rosen because we got nothing else." After him, like, we got nothing.
Well, you would imagine he wants to do that. Because don't forget, Anquan Boldin went to Buffalo for 15 minutes, said, you know what? This is a terrible idea. I'm going to retire. I'll see you guys on the flip side.
Yeah, but I, like, Larry will grind it. Larry's a, you know, consummate professional. He's, I mean.
Yeah, I think he wants to do that. There's no way he's doing it just out of the goodness of his heart.
By the way, three of the top four players taken in the 2004 NFL draft still playing.
Pretty incredible. Phil? Eli, and Larry, yep. You keep going down to number 11.
Obviously, the late, great Sean Taylor passed. Kellen Winslow, no mas in the NFL. Roy Williams, no mas. D'Angelo Hall just retired last year. Reggie Williams, Duncan Robinson, not great. Ben Roethlisberger playing.
Wonder baby.
I think, is that Vince Wilfork presented a trophy?
J.P. Lossman's still balling out in Buffalo.
How many quarterbacks have they drafted since J.P. Lossman? I'm trying to think who else.
Well, E.J. Manuel, Josh Allen.
Matt Schaub's still playing.
Matt Schaub, that's right, third round pick.
Yep, Jared Allen's been retired for a while. I'm just raking through the. Michael Turner was in that draft. Man, Andy Lee still playing.
Wow, I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, Jason Peters, an undrafted free agent tight end / OT out of Arkansas. This might be his. He might have played his final season. We'll see. And then, of course, Wes Welker, undrafted in that draft too. Man, that was a good draft. Yeah, so Larry Fitz coming back for one more rodeo. Enjoy your time, Larry Fitz, but be careful because you might not be great. Okay, elsewhere in the news, John Breach reports that Rams Saints officials were reportedly harassed after the NFC title game, forced to change hotels. Does this make you feel good or bad about humanity?
Oh, the officials?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, the NFL released a report that said they weren't harassed. They were just moved for precautionary reasons.
Yeah.
But someone reported, I don't remember if it was the NOLA.com, but that Vinovich was getting harassing phone calls on his cell phone.
How do you get Vinovich's cell phone?
Maybe there aren't a lot of Vinoviches in the phone book. But it got to the point where he had to hand his phone to a sheriff who was sitting next to him at the hotel lobby, and the sheriff had to tell him to cease and desist or whatever you tell someone who's harassing you in a phone call.
Do you think that he actually had a sheriff, or do you think he was like, hold on a second, he was like, hey, listen here now, sheriff.
He had his voice modulator on.
Exactly.
This is not Bill Vinovich. This is the sheriff sitting next to Bill Vinovich. But, I mean, listen, it's terrible. You can't do that, obviously. But I understand the frustration that these fans were going to. It was not Bill Vinovich's fault. He didn't make the call. He wasn't watched. That wasn't his responsibility. But when the team owner releases a statement saying, dear NFL, you absolutely screwed us up one side and down the other.
Yeah.
We were going to the Super Bowl, and look where we are now. I understand the angst and the anger. But
sort of encouraging the mob to get out there and chase after Bill Vinovich.
Here's an idea. Make it reviewable. Problem solved.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Jerry Jones and John Elway do not want to see it reviewable, by the way, which is that's probably not a great sign.
They say why?
They just think it's like too much.
Here's the thing, and here's what I've been saying since. Okay, so the game goes from 3 hours and 8 minutes to 3 hours and 12 minutes.
Yeah, whatever.
Or alternatively, we can keep the game at 3 hours and 8 minutes and then spend the next 3 months talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to me, 3 months seems to be a little longer than 3 hours, but. You know.
Call me crazy. This is a good one. You'll like this one. You're going to play fill in the blank. Raiders Derek Carr tweets that he wants to have an MMA fight with blank who questioned his character. Fill in the blank. It's an NFL analyst.
Oh gosh. I was hoping it's going to be Greg Hardy.
It's Will Brinson. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Okay. Hold on. Let me guess. Give me the network at least.
ESPN anchor, ESPN host of a.
Oh, Stephen A.
No, right show, wrong guy.
Max?
He wants to fight Max Kellerman.
Max is a boxing guy. I don't know Max in box, but he covers boxing.
I don't think he can box. He tweeted, hey, Dana White, UFC, how do I challenge a couple of these clowns on TV to a fight? I think we should start a business together where pro athletes can challenge some of these people to an octagon fight until they give us an answer. You don't know me. Stop lying. And somebody tweets, he's talking about Max Kellerman. And Derek Carr tweeted, yes, say what you want, but don't question somebody's character as a man if you don't know them. Our job as NFL athletes is to try and leave the game better for the next generation. So let's start an octagon business to give some accountability to these kind of people. Wink, wink emoji, laugh emoji, fist pound emoji. And then somebody was like, why are you hating on Derek Carr QB? And he's like, it's because I blocked them both for talking trash about our team. Those two clowns don't know anything about this game. Would love to actually sit and break down film with these two on TV just to show their viewers how incompetent, parentheses, lacking qualification they are about our game. This is kind of wild. Like, I just assumed Derek Carr was like a very calm.
There's only so much he can take. Here's the thing, and I think this is sort of interesting, how much these guys pay attention. Coaches, players,
they're listening.
Front office guys.
Yeah.
They really do sort of focus in and listen. If, you know, Twitter was about criticizing what we do 24/7, I suspect at some point we would be like, you know what? I've had enough. But,
that's right. Yeah. I've had a couple kerfluffles.
Yeah, you get fired up.
Well, I mean, like, I've had a couple, like, yeah, like a couple kerfluffles where there were situations where people said, you know, people getting your mentions and they're saying stuff that's crazy and you're like, no, I will not take this. So I understand where Derek Carr is coming from. I'm sure
he was minding his business and people were sending him messages on Twitter saying, hey, did you see what Max and Stephen A said? And yeah. I'm sure after a while he had enough.
Maybe. I mean, here's an alternate idea. Don't watch First Take.
Yeah. That's the other thing. You got to find other ways to occupy your time. Right. I understand his frustration in much the same way I understand fans getting frustrated, but you know, don't harass Bill Vinovich on his phone. Don't engage the trolls, Derek Carr.
Don't at Derek Carr when you hear Max Kellerman say something about him. All right?
Yeah, leave Derek Carr alone.
Yeah, it's probably his brother is probably telling Derek. That's Derek's problem.
There's a guy who doesn't like Brinson, David Carr.
I'm blocked by all three. You know that, right?
Oh, all three. You get the trifecta.
Yeah, Darren. Darren's the one who like has catches everything. Anything that's said about any of the Carr brothers, Darren's on top of it.
Is he a former football player too?
I think he's a high school football coach.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Look, all three guys are probably really nice. It's just a little weird that they're just out here blocking people left.
By the way, Derek Carr would absolutely destroy Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith at the same time, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, he got thrown in our Slack channel. Somebody was like, is he talking about Brinson? I was like, oh, please, no. I don't want to be.
That, he would destroy you, too.
Yes. Derek Carr would beat the crap out of me. Derek Carr's kids.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, everybody would watch that. That would be, that would do well for pay-per-view. All right. We've got to pay the bills somehow. Speaking of paying the bills, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and break down the Senior Bowl.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. All right, Ryan Wilson down in Mobile, Alabama to watch the Senior Bowl. This is your first trip to the Senior Bowl. What has been the most, who's been the best person that you've met down there? Not including Danny Kelly.
Number two. So who have we been talking to? You know, I've been hanging out with Pete a lot, our producer Dane, who's fantastic. In terms of the players and coaches, I like your guy, Debo Samuel, a lot. Mm.
Love Debo
Samuel. Talk to Ryan Finley. I'm not going to lie. He's a little goofy looking in person. He doesn't look like he'd been an NFL quarterback. I'll tell you, here's my initial takeaway.
His hair is a little curly.
He's a little curlier.
He's a little bigger. He's bigger than you think, though. He's
6'4 and change, but he and Daniel Jones both are extremely skinny for guys who have spent 4+ years in Division I big time college programs.
You should have seen Finley. Duke's a big time. You should have seen Finley. Duke's got an ACC championship since since State has won.
Fair enough. But
both guys skinny though.
They're skinny. Tyree Jackson, the 6'7" quarterback out of Buffalo who came out early. I thought maybe he should have gone back. That is a grown man. He is one thing you can call him is not skinny. He can throw the ball a mile. He has issues with accuracy. But when you're 6'7" and you look like that, you're going to get drafted.
6'7"?
Huge. And that's the other thing. Guys that are that tall generally don't make good quarterbacks, but you know, guys who are 5'8" generally don't make good quarterbacks, and I'm sure Kyler Murray would get drafted too.
This guy is 6'7"? My God.
Yeah, he's a man. You see him out there among other men, and you go, oh, my God.
I watched some Buffalo games this year, and he runs a lot too, didn't he?
He does, but the issue is, like, they have a kid, Anthony Johnson, number 83, who's a wide receiver, who's here this week, who's probably going to be a day two pick. He's a big guy, wide receiver-wise. Kelvin Harmon, Ashton, his size. Not quite as refined, and he caught a lot of bombs from Tyree Jackson during the season. But I just don't know if Jackson, he's a guy that you watch and you go, oh my God, he can do all these things, but he doesn't do them. What's the word? He's not as precise as he needs to be. And in college, you can get away with it. In NFL, you're not going to.
It sounds like Josh Allen.
He's a different type of player. I think Josh Allen is clearly a better quarterback. He was a first round pick, and you can debate whether he should have been or not. But I don't know if Tyree Jackson is going to be taken before day three. But I mean, we're ahead of ourselves. It's January. But anyway, I love talking to Ryan.
Finley's a smart guy.
Finley, very smart guy. I will say this, which I thought was a little weird. Before I grabbed him we did a video interview with him.
It was on CBS Sports HQ?
It's sort of like media day at the Super Bowl, taken down about 5,000 notches. But before I got a chance to grab Ryan, I had to wait for the people they were interviewing previously, and they were asking him, and I'm not kidding, where he ate Chipotle at NC State and what toppings he got on his. I said, this is like a Super Bowl question. But he answered it very, very nicely, and then we did a quick hit with him. Another quarterback I talked to who I thought was extremely nice, has a lot to prove this week, is Jarrett Stidham, the quarterback out of Auburn. Good 2017 season, up and down 2018 season. In fact, it wasn't very good if you're being honest. But he was honest. He said, listen, leadership is something I'm really good at. I have a really good arm. I can make all the throws. I just need to be more consistent. And that's exactly it. Like if there's a 5-step process that a quarterback needs to go through to be successful from pre-snap until completion, he generally has issues with one of those steps somewhere along the line. And that's what fails him in terms of not being consistent enough. So he up and down on day one. Day two, which is on Wednesday, the practice was indoors, so the media wasn't allowed in there. So I don't have an idea yet. I haven't read the pool report. But a lot of the guys struggled on day one. It's day one. That's how it works.
Just for the record, Garrett Bradbury, who's a center, who's at the Senior Bowl right now. You should talk to him. Good story on Garrett Bradbury. NC State guy, too. He once pointed out that Ryan Finley eats a lot of Chipotle. So maybe So maybe that's where it came from.
That was Garrett talking to him.
Maybe. Who were the guys that were interviewing him asking about Chipotle? That's weird.
I can't remember where they were from. And it wasn't Garrett Bradbury. By the way, scouts seem to think that Garrett Bradbury could be a first round pick. That's how much they love him here this week. I don't know if a center is going in the first round.
I have him in my first round.
You are on the same page with some scouts here.
I'm locked into the NFL. Do you know where he would make sense to be drafted?
Minnesota.
That would make sense. You know where it makes more sense if he's
going. You didn't take him to Carolina, did you?
Oh yeah, buddy.
There you go.
Ryan Khalil retired, which has sort of flown under the radar. Like, we all knew he retired, but it was sort of kind of expecting him to come back. But everything you read from the Panthers is like, this retirement is official, even if he hadn't filed the papers. Khalil leaves. Bradbury he's out of Charlotte, I believe. He was a 3-star tight end when he was recruited to NC State. And he developed into the center. And I read a quote, I don't know if you heard this or not from Bradbury or anybody down there, but he basically said, he doesn't want to play guard or tackle or be moved around and be a depth guy. He wants to play center. So whoever drafts him should, if they're going to use a first or second round pick on him, be inclined to draft him as a starting center, which is why it would make sense for him to go to Carolina.
Well, I think Scouts agree with you, so you guys are on the same page. We'll see if he ends up going in the first round, but people like him here a lot. Ellison Jenkins, another center they like. Pierce Bacher out of Alabama is another center they like. So there are a lot of interior linemen down here that people are really excited about. And this is actually the place to be if you're going to be excited about interior linemen.
I mean, this is also the draft to be excited about interior linemen too, because this is not a sexy draft. I mean, the quarterback names are getting propped up now because it's late January, but this is, I mean, like have you changed your mind on any of these quarterbacks so far?
No, same deal. Pete and I do a video segment every day for CBS Sports HQ, and every day it's Daniel Jones, Drew Lock. There's some conversation about who's better than the other, but they're pretty much even. Daniel Jones did throw two interceptions on Wednesday. We know that because John Gruden said Daniel Jones threw two interceptions today in the pool report. So, but otherwise, he said these guys are doing pretty well. After that, Will Greer struggled on the first day with accuracy, and that's sort of his thing. I don't think he has the greatest arm. People were saying that at the beginning of the year, and you watch him, and I'm like, okay, he can get it out there, but he doesn't get it out there consistently. Incredibly handsome. I didn't know this. I knew he was handsome, but I didn't know the rest of the story. His brothers. Do you know his brothers?
I do not.
I was talking to our buddy Joe Person at the Athletic.
Because Will Greer is from Charlotte.
That's right.
Or he's from Davidson, I guess.
Joe Person and I went to college together, and I know him from when he's at the Observer, and now he's at the Athletic. And he was telling me that Will Greer's brothers are these huge YouTube sensations. They're YouTubers, as my 7-year-old calls them, and they are more popular than Will Greer. So. I don't know their names. Joe was telling me their names.
Nash and Hayes Greer.
That's who it is.
And if you Google Will Greer's brothers, it's like there's an article on superfame.com. Sure. It's like Nash's disgraced quarterback brother Will Greer makes thrilling comeback.
No,
it's just like laughing like Nash and Hayes are just much bigger than Will Greer. And I think Will Greer has this deal too where he is I think it's Jeannie Marie. I don't know if that's her full name. But back in November of 2016, I think, before he transferred from Florida to West Virginia, they had a kid together. And so he's now married and has a kid.
Right, that's right.
And like the whole thing is that it sort of changed his life in terms
that's
of
that's right. That's another talking point. That's right. So he's there, you know, and another interesting guy is Tracy Sorley, 6 feet tall, Penn State, super athletic. Hasn't thrown the ball very well in the times that I've seen him. But, I mean, if you watch him play at Penn State, he had a very good career. But the issue is, can he play as a six-footer? It is the fact that, you know, Russell Wilson paved the way and all the other guys that have come since, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray obviously is on his way. Lamar Jackson is that type of player. Can he have success? There's some scouts that like his competitiveness, but no one's talking about him as a day one or day two pick. So it'll be interesting to see what his role becomes, if he has to change positions, if he's sort of a Cordell Stewart / type guy. We haven't said that in a while. So, yeah, there's questions to be answered about the quarterbacks. And you're right. Beyond Locke and Daniel Jones are not necessarily, quote-unquote, sexy.
I don't think either of those guys is guaranteed to go in the first round. I think they will go in the first round.
They will. I think just because you know what happens. There's an arms race 2 weeks before the draft. People get nervous. We need a franchise quarterback. And then Dwayne Haskins, I think, is the number one. I still feel like Kyler Murray should probably go second off the board. But – you know, I'm not a GM, so we'll see. And then teams will get nervous and start trading up for Jones and Locke. I haven't talked to you, but since we got here, Locke's hand size, smallest hands at the combine, 9 inches. Smaller than, I think, any of the first-round picks last year. And here's what he told Pete. He said, you know who else had small hands? Dan Marino. What's up?
Pete blasted Sam Darnold last year for having small hands.
He was right. He got that right. He did have small hands.
He was wrong. Sam Darnold was good last year.
I don't know if he was questioning his ability. I think he was questioning the fact that he had small hands.
I think he was like, I think his phrase was actually, he's got baby hands. He's got baby hands.
I could hear Pete saying that. Is that an issue, small hands? I don't know.
It's not an issue for me. I'm fine with small hands. I personally have bigger hands than, you know, you would expect for someone of my size, but that's fine. I don't mind people with small hands. I'm not going to
weird point, but okay.
Yeah, just yeah. Some people like to know they have huge hands. I don't know. It's a throwback joke. At any rate, what other positions have caught your eye? Perchance cornerbacks, some defensive backs out there. Catch your eye, maybe some small school guys that our DraftKnick listeners should be paying attention to. The name you gave us Okay, what's his name? The
who?
The Delaware safety.
Who's... Oh yeah, Nasir Adderley's here, and he is so well known at this point. He's like a big time guy.
I just want to point out that, like, I think 3 weeks ago we were doing a podcast, and you were like Nasir Adderley, and I was like, I've never heard of this guy. And safety out of Delaware. If you look at mock drafts that are popping up, he's all over him. I saw him, Daniel Jeremiah, respect Daniel Jeremiah. He was in his top 40, I think, in terms of prospects. So good on you, Ryan Wilson. You were way ahead of the curve.
Well, yeah, there you go. I was the guy who found Nasir Adderley, but, that's not true. But, yeah, he's been here and everyone knows who he is. And
isn't that weird how this works too, by the way? Like 5 years ago, Nasir Adderley flies under the radar the whole way until like draft
night.
Now it's like Nasir Adderley is definitely going to be overhyped at some point in this process.
You are exactly right. He's an FCS guy from Delaware who was already mentioned as a top 25 pick, and no one's batting an eye. But he looks apart. He's 5'11", 195. Does he need to be bigger to play safety? And as you know, Prisco will tell you, today's NFL, you don't have to be 220 pounds to play safety.
Right.
By the way, speaking of which, saw your guy, Prisco's guy, Adrian Wilson last night, looking every bit like he could play tomorrow if he needed to.
Adrian Wilson, he's still doing scouting, I believe, for the
He's with the Cardinals.
For the Arizona Cardinals. He is a bad man. He is.
So he's a throwback safety. Nasir Adderley is not quite that big, but he's got to watch. A guy that I like a lot, Corey Ballantyne out of Washburn, a small school guy, 6 feet. So he's a couple inches taller than me, but I was talking to him after practice. His legs come up to his neck, and he is exactly what you look for. He's a physical guy. He's a press guy. He got beat early. The first thing he said to me was, yeah, I got beat on that fade route deep. I haven't played since November. My season was over, so I've been working out and training, but I'm not in football shape, and I just needed to get back into that. And once he did, doing the drills, he looked really good, and I think he wasn't overwhelmed. He said, football is football. I'm just needed to catch up speed-wise, and once I did that, I felt comfortable. He looked comfortable out there. Another guy that I've liked for a long time, Chris Boyd out of place for Texas.
Yeah.
He is physical. There are questions about his hips and mobility, flipping his hips and running and all that. But I had him in first round in early mock drafts, like back in October. But he will jack you up at the line of scrimmage, and then he will get in your ear and yap your ear off, and then he will beat you down the field. And if he can do that consistently, not get penalties, tight coverage, all that, he's going to be a really good player. Pete actually likes him a lot, too. He was blown away watching him this week.
And Chris Boyd, by the way, K-R-I-S, as in like Chris Cross. I'm sure somebody will come up with a nickname for that wherever he lands. Who else? You mentioned to me before the podcast, did you mention Corey Ballantyne already? Did you?
Yeah, I just talked about him.
Yeah. I'm an idiot. I'm running through my list. All right. Wide receivers. You name a name and then I'll act like I didn't hear it and I'll name the name back to you. How's that sound? Just kidding.
What is, let's do that again.
Debo Samuel, my guy. I love Debo Samuel.
Awesome. He is like, you watch him play.
He's tiny, man.
He is not. He looks tiny on the field. Cause when I watched him play, I actually said this to him. I said, when I watch you, on tape, you look like, you remind me a little bit of Brandon Cooks. Mm. He goes, I like that. But I haven't seen Brandon. I've never stood next to Brandon Cooks, but he's taller than you think. He's probably 5'11". He doesn't look like he's 5'9" out there.
Right.
And he's thick and he puts his foot in the ground. He can run every route inside. He can play in the slot outside. He can run the jet sweep. He returns kicks. I think first game 2017, it was UNC that he blasted. It wasn't NC State.
Yeah, in 2017, it was NC State.
It was NC State. Okay.
He made that ridiculous one-handed catch in the back right of the end zone. That's like one of the best catches you'll ever see.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt, broke his leg, and only played 3 games. 2018 was healthy, not quite as productive, but still had a good year. And I thought it was funny, but scouts this week are concerned about his deep speed. And I said to him after the first practice when he set the field on fire, I said, so the concern is your deep speed. You know that, right? He said, did you see me today? I was smoking, quote unquote. That was his quote to me. He said, my change of direction was crazy. he wasn't wrong. If you search on YouTube for, Debo Samuel Senior Bowl, you will see the clips where he's just hosing guys, breaking ankles left and right. So he was fantastic. Your guy, Jacoby Myers, has had a good week so far. Now, I talked to Ryan Finley about Jacoby and he said he described Jacoby as this quote unquote security blanket. Because Jacoby ran a lot underneath stuff. Kelvin Harmon took care of the deep half of the field. Jacoby only averaged 11.2 yards per catch.
Right.
So that was his job. So the question was, can he run deep? Can he run deeper routes? Can he get down the field, create separation, all that? The answer is yes, he can.
Oh my. I'm watching Debo Samuel. He blitzed Rock Ya-Sin.
And Rock Ya-Sin is another guy from Temple, kind of off the radar. He transferred into Temple, and there's been some buzz about him. But Daniel Jeremiah was talking about him as possibly the first-round pick. I don't know. I'm not at that point yet. But people like him a lot coming in. He had some good reps against Debo. One of those clearly was not a good rep.
Man, look at this. Yeah, somebody posted that Debo Samuel's foot speed is disgusting, and he really is just quick. I do wonder, like, you know, when you're looking at a prospect like that, you know, again, played three games, 15 catches in 2017, comes back 12 games, 62 catches, 882 yards, 11 touchdowns. That's not a – in 12 games, that's not a great season. The 11 touchdowns right. is obviously huge.
Their offense was doo-doo.
Yeah, that's Jake Bentley didn't really come on until even late. Like, he wasn't that great in 2018. Do you worry much about the stats when you're projecting Debo in a spot like that?
Here's the deal. If you just turn on those games and turn the volume down and watch him, you feel quite comfortable where Debo Samuel is at as a football player.
Yeah.
And he was upbeat. He had no issues with people. He said, I'll just go out there and prove him wrong. And day one, he certainly did that. And he looked good, dude.
What kind of music are you listening to in the background while you're silently watching college football games?
Oh, Kenny G. Everybody knows that.
Do you blast Kenny G? You do blast Kenny G, don't you?
Yeah, Kenny G. I put on my Jerry Curl wig, too, to get the
mic right. All right, what other wide receivers? You mentioned Jacoby Myers.
I don't know if you had any thoughts on him since he's one of your guys.
I think he's an underrated stud. I think part of one of the problems that you're going to see with these NC State wide receivers, and, like, look, Garrett Bradbury's there. We mentioned him, the center from NC State. Kelvin Harmon is there. Jacoby Myers are there. Both guys, I think, are going to be picked in the first 2 days of the draft.
Yeah, Kelvin's not here. You mean
– Kelvin's, yeah, sorry. Kelvin's a junior. He left early. Right. But both guys are – here's the problem. When you have a guy in Kelvin Harmon who looks like he's going to be a first-round pick, and you have a guy in Jacoby Myers that could get into the second round easily, maybe a little bit higher. And I don't think he'll be a first-round pick, but, you know, he could – and you have a center who could be a first-round pick, and then you have a quarterback who's sort of fading in terms of his – like, I think the biggest problem for these guys is how much their productivity is going to hurt Ryan Finley's draft stock.
I don't know. I mean, there's some personnel guys that like what Finley's done this week. I still have questions about his arm strength. I think that's a fair question. We'll see. But I asked him specifically about his arm strength, and he sort of evaded the question. So I asked him again. He goes, yeah, I can make all the throws. And he said it like someone who's gotten that question before is going to get it a lot again, and yeah. I understand that. And he had just been asked about Chipotle, so maybe that sort of put him off as well.
I think Jacoby Myers – NC State fans were hoping he would not go, and nobody expected him to stay.
I was shocked you told me that. And I was like, oh, that's actually good for me because I liked him a lot.
Yeah, because he had one more year of eligibility, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah. He was a late addition to the squad. Yeah. A guy I like a lot, too, Keelan Doss out of UC Davis, FCS guy. I talked to him today, and he looks and plays like Keenan Allen. He has more hair on his head, but he has the same – he's 6'2"-ish, and he's a big receiver. And the question scouts coming in for him in the Senior Bowl week was, could he get off the line of scrimmage and could he separate? And he can get off the line of scrimmage, no problem, and he can separate. The things that scouts told him he needs to work on is using his hands to separate from cornerbacks downfield when they're getting physical with him. And today John Gruden said he had a great day of practice. He caught everything thrown his way. He told me, Keelan did, that he met with Mike Tomlin. And I said to Keelan, guess which team needs a wide receiver?
What do you say about that?
He laughed. We don't know what's going to happen with Antonio Brown, but it certainly sounds like Antonio could be on the way out. And I also said, listen, that's great news. I mean, they're meeting with everyone, so it's not necessarily a breaking news that Mike Tomlin didn't just meet with one person.
Right.
But hey, that team can pick receivers. They're not great at picking cornerbacks.
If you get picked in the fourth round by the Steelers, congratulations on your Pro Bowl. I mean, like, not eight, right. eight times out of ten. I mean, between Santonio Holmes, Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, who else am I missing? Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju's a second round pick.
Yeah. I mean, anybody, they don't pick.
Even Martavis Bryant was a fourth round pick.
Sure. Yeah, they nail him. What about on the defensive side? Who's made an impression? I know you wrote about this on CBSSports.com. Montez Sweat, edge player out of Mississippi State. I saw somebody on Twitter. Maybe one of those draft network guys.
Yeah.
But they mentioned that he was a little stiff. Did you see that at all? Or do you think
that was the conversation coming in. If you watch him play, he's not as bendy as Ja'Kai Polite, for example, out of Florida. But let me tell you something. The one-on-one drills, he was blowing fools up. He got the best. I think – I don't want to misstate it. I think it was Titus Howard out of Alabama State. I think it was him. If it wasn't, I apologize, Titus, but he steamrolled. Yeah.
Titus loves this podcast, by the way. So.
Yeah. I looked that up on the Twitter machine and you will be like, oh boy. But even that was on the left side. He got on the right side against Andre Dillard, the Washington State left tackle that a lot of people like. Some like him as first round picks. Others aren't quite so sure. So we'll see what happens with Dillard, but he's one of those guys that are moving up, but he beat him a few reps and he had the first, he was the winner in day one on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of fun to watch. I had him going 21 in my latest mock draft. After watching him this week, that will probably move up. There are a lot of good pass rushers in this draft. He may be a little stiff around the edge. I think I'm going to say this and people might get angry. I think he's better than Cleveland Farrell. I like Cleveland Farrell a lot, but Cleveland Farrell has issues about bend around the edge. How flexible is he? And he was extremely productive, no question, at Clemson.
But you Montez Sweat right? Destroyed Titus Howard.
That was Titus. Okay, good. I'm glad they get the wrong guy.
Oh my God. He wrecked his.
And I mean, he wrecked people like, look, Titus is having a good week as well, but that's just something that's on tape. And now people are going to say, oh, remember that time? He's like, yeah. Like asking Ryan Finley about Chipotle. That's his Chipotle.
Hey, Titus, I got just a couple of quick minutes, if you don't mind. How did it feel getting wrecked by Montez Sweat at the Senior Bowl? He's like, I'm 55 years old. I quit playing 20 years ago. Leave me alone.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So
who else?
Another guy that I actually talked to today that I had watched a few times coming in, Charles Aminihu out of Texas. He's defensive end. And if me standing next to him, I came up to like his kneecap. What are you laughing at?
Actually, I'm laughing at you standing next to Prisco because how short Pete is in this shot. Oh my God. Look at, he's just so tiny. Pete looks thrilled to be standing out in
is it the rain
is this,
shot?
What stadium is this? Is it Ladd Peebles?
Ladd Peebles. Yeah,
Ladd Peebles.
It was last night at 6 p.m. and we were the last ones to stay.
Yeah, you don't look thrilled to be in the middle of the rain.
It's freezing out there. It's just hilarious because when I left Syracuse this week, it was -2. It was about 40 and drizzling, so we weren't.
Are you, after we get done with this podcast, are you going out and going enormous? What's going on?
No, me and Dana are going to grab dinner. Pete's already asleep. It's 8:12 local time as we're talking.
Yeah.
Pete grabbed a sandwich and he went to sleep. And I'm going to go grab dinner.
It is easy to forget just how old Pete is. I mean, like Pete's 74. I mean, that's really old.
He's not 74. No, he was out late. We were out till midnight last night. Drinking some Bud Lights, I think is what they were.
Who, did you got some personnel guys, some scouts?
Yeah, Pete just told me. He said, you can't reveal your source. So I can't tell you.
No, I don't want to know who you went out with. I've hung out with Pete before and I would imagine, cause it feels like to me, and I'm curious cause you've been to the combine. You've been to the Super Bowl.
No, I haven't been to the combine.
You've never been to the combine. Oh, so your first combine this year. Well, you'll like the combine, but it feels to me like I've never been to the Senior Bowl. It feels like it's moving backwards in terms of like, A, the attention it gets, and B, like, it feels like the Senior Bowl, you can actually go talk to personnel guys and without worrying about, you know what I mean? Like you can, like
yeah.
It used to
no,
be like,
it's a smaller venue. Mobile's small in general. And Pete, you know, he's been covering the NFL for 30 years. So
he knows everybody.
So we saw a few, it wasn't like wall to wall. It wasn't like, you know, you bump into a guy, turn around. We saw a handful of people. Pete talked to, you know, the guys he knows a lot. He knows a lot of people. And you see, of course, a lot of media guys out. So we saw our good buddy Andy Benoit, who is always fun to talk to, SI.com.
Love Andy.
And he had several meetings lined up today with teams to watch film because that's what Andy does. So that was hilarious. But Charles Aminihu, the guy I stood next to, he was double my size.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
6'5", 275, and he is a guy that plays off the edge. And I said to him, I said, you sort of remind me of – Cam Hayward, Cam Jordan type. He goes, oh, no. I am a bigger version of Chandler Jones.
Whoa, settle down, pal.
He ain't wrong. He is a bigger version of Chandler Jones. Because I said, I just watched a USC game where he absolutely destroyed the entire offensive line in the final play of game, strip sack. And he said, that wasn't even my best game. And he went through his three other games, Georgia. And he said, Baylor. He said, I was so honed in and out of my mind. I don't even know how I played that well. I said, okay, wow. I appreciate your honesty there. But,
right, how how do I spell this guy's name?
Aminihu. O-M-E-N-H-I-I-H-U.
Okay.
O-M-E-N-I-H-U.
Right.
Yeah, he is and he's not wrong about the Chandler Jones thing. And
interesting.
He's a guy, he's going to be, I feel like a second round pick. There could be some conversation about higher than that, but if you want to watch him play, go watch the Baylor game. I haven't watched it yet, so that's on my to-do list, but he's a guy along with Daylon Mack. Mm-hmm. Who was an interior guy at Texas A&M, played alongside Myles Garrett back in the day.
Okay.
And just sort of got red hot lately. He was one of the highest top recruits coming out of high school. Didn't flash right away, but he played his way into the Shrine Bowl, crushed it at the practices there, mm-hmm. parlayed that into a Senior Bowl invite this week. And you saw that clip with Titus Howard. He was doing similar things to some of those centers that we talked about as being possible first-round picks. Mm. So he's another guy who could be a day-two pick if he sort of – you have to ask the question, okay, where were you the last year and a half?
Right.
But if you're comfortable with that answer, you want to wrecking ball in the middle of the field.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because this draft to me, Ryan, is one of those where not only because of the teams who are in the second half, like you have the Seahawks and the Ravens and the Patriots who are they're usually there anyway, but like these teams are willing to trade down, but they also might be willing to take a gamble on somebody who, you know, like a defensive, like in a different draft, they might not sit there and take him in the first round. Does that make sense? Like this is a, there's, I don't know how much trading up into the first, I don't know. This just feels like a draft that it feels like everybody, it feels like from 10 to 40 is basically going to be a jumble. Yeah. Maybe like 10 to 70.
No, that's right. In fact, it's funny you say that. Pete said he talked to three personnel guys today, and they all said how deep this draft class is. There's no superstars. There's no Julio Joneses. There's no Andrew Lux.
Right.
But you can find guys at pick 20 that you can find at pick 70, as you point out. And that's huge for a team, for example, like the Steelers. They need depth at a lot of places, especially on defense. So, absolutely. And if you need depth, you're not trading up, wasting picks to get a guy that you can get if you just wait 10 more picks.
I got one more name for you to check out this week. Jermaine Pratt.
I watched Jermaine yesterday.
Tackling machine.
Here's what I'll say, because I watched the linebackers closely, and he was there with let me double-check who he was with there, because I watched the guy. So Cameron Smith out of USC was there, looked really good. Sutton Smith, small school guy out of Northern Illinois, I believe, also look really good. They're both 235. So are you okay with that? I feel like in this day and age, you're okay with the linebacker being 235.
Yeah, I think so.
Tavon Coney was there at Notre Dame in that same group with him. I liked Tavon a lot coming into the Senior Bowl. He and Jermaine were a little stiff in the drills, not much more stiff than both Smith, Sutton, and
Cam.
And Cam, right, thank you. And so I have some questions there. There's who's the kid? Let me find his name real quick. There it is. Ben Banigou, Texas Christian.
Yeah.
That is a grown man. I was watching him in the drills.
6'4", 249 at outside linebacker. My God.
So I saw him stand next to Jermaine Pratt. That was like me standing next to Prisco. I was like, holy crap, this guy is enormous. And and they do the tackling drills where you just sort of go 50%. He was crushing dudes, Jermaine Pratt's size in the tackling drills, and he was going 50%. So a guy to watch. I don't know much about him beyond what I saw at practice, though.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this. You feel? I'm just curious. Like, do you feel like the Senior Bowl is? I'm a little jealous. Like, now you start talking about it. I mean, you know, you're hanging out in a hotel room. You're going to eat dinner with Dane, who's a good dude. Then you're going to crash and sleep for 12 hours. You know, rent a movie in your hotel room. I'm going to go watch Paw Patrol with my son, who refuses to go to sleep, even though it's like 9:15 at night. But do you feel like the Senior Bowl, from like a draft analyst perspective, and like getting to watch these kids in a smaller setting is like, is it? It's worth the trip down there versus being
Here's the deal. Here's the difference. Absolutely. Because you're standing 10 feet away from Jermaine Pratt. So I can see what he looks like. Because if you're watching it, clips on YouTube or watching the game that you taped on your regular size television, you don't know how big Jermaine Pratt's legs are compared to the people he's sitting next to. Because you can't, unless you have, the best 8K.
Yeah, 8K. Exactly.
So if you're there, you see. I can see that Ryan Finley is a string bean. I can see that Daniel Jones is a string bean. I can see how they throw to receivers. Andy Isabella, I continue to love. He is actually shorter than me, so he's a legit 5'8". But also learned he's an applied math major, so he's no dummy.
Interesting.
But yeah, so you get to see these guys up close and personal, and I think that's a huge benefit. The game, less so. All the scouts, all the personnel guys are leaving on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So they may not even be there for the final practice. They'll get the tapes and they'll watch them.
Oh, wow.
So,
really?
Yeah, so that's the thing. This place is going to quiet down in the next day or two. But for me, first time absolutely seeing that stuff. Pete's seeing the stuff. He hasn't been here in 15 years, so he got over the weather. Once he got over the weather, he was fine. But, yeah, I think it's a huge benefit to being here.
All right, and so you're staying for the game, right? And then driving
– You know it.
Driving to Atlanta on Sunday.
to Hotlanta.
Oh my God. Right. Have you talked, what are your kids and wife, what are their reactions to your departure?
They had a snow day today, so they had the day off.
Oh, I bet your wife was thrilled about that.
She was not, yeah. I don't like snow days because I know it means it's like a Saturday where the kids are yelling and screaming all day.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're sucking it up for Team Wilson.
Right.
So,
well, good for them. They're furthering your career. Way to go, Wilson family. All right, Ryan. Well, make sure to check out Ryan at Ryan Wilson CBS on Twitter. Read his mock drafts and follow his coverage on CBS Sports HQ for the Senior Bowl. Thanks, buddy.
You got it.